Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast. It is I, Cameron the Cree Davis, here with a solo piece. Do not get discouraged. I know everybody who hears that upon initial hearing it probably gets a little sad, like, fuck, dude, I gotta listen to Cameron again. Like, shit, man, like, what the fuck is going on? But I actually have a what I like to think is a very scintillating and exciting episode. So you guys are in for an actual treat. Henry is out today. He's not feeling well, which is fine. We all have those sick days. It's a Sunday. I actually have football on in the room while I'm tracking this, and I don't have the camera on because what's the point of putting the camera on? We don't put anything in social media. So I'm sitting here shirtless. Let me just paint the scene for you. I'm sitting here shirtless in my room with football on. The wife is outside. We've been doing all sorts of very, suburban middle-aged people things. I painted closet doors today. What else did I do? I did a whole bunch of other shit. I was moving rocks. I didn't get to do a lot of football watching. So we're gonna sit here. We're gonna have football on the side because the Raiders are playing. And I'm gonna sit here and talk about today's topic that I came up with, sometime earlier this week. Something just kind of popped up in my mind. And what it is the damage that we do while in active addiction. And so I reached out to a few other people for, their advice on this. Like, what are some of the things that you have struggled with or some of the things that were the hardest for you to deal with when dealing with somebody who is in active addiction? And actually, my number one MVP, my wife, understood the assignment and actually wrote me a fantastic, 10-point list of all the things that I used to do that really fucked her up. So sit tight, because this is going to be a fantastic episode where we get to actually read my wife's writing, roasting me about how big of a piece of shit I was. So this should be absolutely scintillating. But it's important because, you know what? It keeps me in a non-forgetful place, right? And sometimes when you read this type of shit, you can sit back and just be like, fuck, man, I am sad. I am sad now. Like, dude, like, what the fuck? Who the fuck was I? But you know what, dude? Like, 6.5 years working towards 7, and it's all fine and well. So I'm able to do this and be okay with it. But before I jump into that, since Penn and I always like to shoot the shit, went out and saw Scat Shah. The other day, Scat was the main title sponsor for the Chicken Festival out here. And for our East Coast listeners, our listeners overseas, and our super loyal Canadian listeners, hey, Canadian listeners, I see that you listen. We do. Henry and I do. And holler at us, man. Reach out to us on Instagram or on Spotify. Leave a comment or something, man. We see you. We appreciate your loyalty because you have a chance to actually be an elite person from a foreign country, unlike the asshole Belgian, and actually hit us up. So we'd love to hear from you. Ideas for the show, how you found it, what you like about it, what you don't. That would be ultra tits. But yeah, I went out to the Chicken Festival, which is a little festival that happens out here in Fair Oaks. It used to be like this. It's a city where wild chickens roam. And for some reason, there's like no more chickens. All the chickens are gone. I have a theory that all the homeless people are eating the chickens, but that's a taboo theory, because all the chickens just magically disappeared. They're fucking gone. I think you have one rooster. Like back in the day when I used to skate in Old Fair Oaks, I was doing kickflips over chickens. There were that many chickens there. So it is. It's not what it once was, but it was nice to go out and see Scat Shah. He had his tree truck out there with the big American flag hanging. A tear almost fucking rolled out of my eye. He gave me a hat. It was dope. It looked like a good time. That's another one of those events that I used to absolutely enjoy going, because it was a fantastic excuse to just literally get fucking hammered all day. And best in believe, old Kreeran here used to really dial it up at the Chicken Festival. So cluck cluck, motherfuckers. So yeah, I just wanted to shout out Sketch. Yeah, you did a great job, brother. And hopefully this brings you a whole bunch of business. So let's get into the topic. Like I said, I asked you know, family members, I asked my mom, I asked a few other people. I even have some personal experience with this, because I have some family members and close friends and stuff who are still in active addiction. And I have certain feelings that happen to me that I have a hard time juggling with. And maybe we can process that shit together on this episode, because I don't know if I handle it properly or if I handle it wrong. Like, and it's crazy, because you would think that, like, being on this side and being on the other side as well, that you'd have this, like, magical insight. Like, I understand what's going on, but why is it so much harder for me to fucking deal with it now that I'm on the other side of it? Like, why is it so hard? And hopefully we can kind of illuminate that. So the first one that my wife wrote on the 10 hardest things that she experienced while dealing with me when we were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, in my active addiction, was, she says that she was feeling useless. She was unable to help or convince Cameron to get sober. Now that is, you know, pretty cut and fucking dry. That's the standard thing, right? Like, you feel helpless. Like, why can't I use my logic and my reasoning, my sober-minded reasoning? Because Ash, like, fucking still, like, even when I met her, I think on, like, our first date, I we went to, like, BJ's, which is a fucking pizza restaurant, not a blowjob shop. And, you know, I had already had alcohol before I showed up, and I was drinking beers, and she just sat there and said two words, and watched me drink beers, and then we went and played mini golf and shit. But you know what? I still got, I had slick game then, and I still got it now, baby, because you know what? We're going on like 10 years together. So, you know, she's, like I said, she said two words, but drunk Cameron still was able to seal the deal. But like I said, she's right about that, right? Like, we can feel hopeless. We can feel like, dude, like, there is absolutely nothing I can do or say to this person to get them to fucking see that they are fucking killing themselves. And so that is a big one, man. That one just really is kind of hard for me to deal with too, right? Especially when you're trying. Because now, like I said in the beginning, like, I see the other side. So it's like, here, dude, let me break it down for you real quick. Like, this is all hella stupid, and you should just stop. Like, just stop doing it, and I promise you it'll be better. And then they, like, nod at you and agree, and then they go out and they use again, and you're just like, dude, what the fuck? I told them these super awesome hot takes on why they need to stop doing that. How could they disregard this knowledge? How could they do that? Well, it's pretty easy to disregard that fucking knowledge. I can tell you firsthand. So let's go on to the next one. This one's probably real easy for anybody else who's living with an addict, is dealing with an addict, is, you know, around somebody, a family member, yada, yada, yada. Feeling like alcohol was more important than me, it made me feel really insecure. Yeah, that's a good one, Cameron. That's fantastic. But, you know, it's true. It's true. This is her truth. You know, and if I was being completely honest, I think alcohol was more important at that time. As sad as it is to say. Thank God it's not the case anymore, but it was at that time. It just was. And when you're in that, and alcohol is more important than your relationships, because when you're in active addiction, like, you don't give a fuck about anything really. You don't want to, like, hurt. I know me per se, I didn't want to hurt anybody, but I didn't want anyone fucking with me and my alcohol consumption. And if that meant that you had to kick rocks because of my toxicity and my drunkenness, then that was something I was not willing to deal with, but I was at the same time. It's like the most wild dichotomy of all. Like, I would throw these fits. Like, no, you can't possibly leave me. Like, yada, yada, yada. Look at me. I need you. And I'd do all these weird gaslighting bullshit and then play this, like, the smallest violin fucking crescendo of all time. And usually it would work. It would work a lot, actually. And I'd get girlfriends to stick around and to make, feel sorry for me somehow. The manipulation was really strong in active addiction. I was not a good person. At all, especially to Ash and especially to any of my other previous girlfriends that came before her. I mean, I love them. I'm a very nice, loving person, but dude, like, they were not exempt from, getting the old wool putting over their eyes and getting fucking fleeced for anything I could just so I could stay drunk. So, that was number two. Now I have my fucking computer over here trying to do an update. And we're not doing that today. That's not happening. So let me schedule this restart for 1:05 a.m. tomorrow. How's that sound? That sounds good. This is fucking elite content, guys. So, excuse me. The third one is going crazy in air quotes and having to go into investor mode to catch Cameron in the act of drinking. And feeling like I needed to ask all the liquor store people if Cam had stopped by. Now, how fucking sad is that? How sad is that? I mean, we have to, this is just a girlfriend who's dealing with me at the time, having to feel like she needs to be Detective fucking Dan to see if she can catch me in the act so that I can somehow try to weasel my way out of it, or I don't know, maybe if she caught me, this is where we have to get her on the pod. But juggling the fucking two kids is just absolutely impossible to do. Cause we will get her on eventually and we'll get to hear her side like fully, but you know, trying to catch me and I guess in her mind, that would be an attempt to stop it. Right. So here's another way of looking at that. Like, how selfish we are when we're running and gunning, right? So you have somebody who loves the shit out of you, and they're literally just going about their day. They're trying to deal with you. They're trying to be the best person that they can be, because, you know, being a human is pretty fucking hard on most days. But then we add a little bit of flavor to it. So imagine you have to then search and try to figure out what you're going to be walking into. So when she gets off work, she's going to stop by the liquor stores that she knows I frequented all day, every day, and be like, hey, have you seen Cameron today? And the odds are, yes, I have. And I saw him very early. And he's probably going to come back here soon, if my track record in my past was any indication of that. So I think that's one of the saddest things, is like the amount of distress, right? Like, she's trying to go out of her way just so she can maybe catch me, just so maybe that would, you know, flip a switch in my mind. Maybe. And guess what? It didn't. And it pains me to say that, but it didn't. It just didn't. And, I feel terrible about this shit. I really do, if I'm being completely honest. Like, it just really hurts how, you know, we can completely disregard everybody else. We can just completely disregard. Like, well, why the fuck are you going to the liquor store? Why are you trying to catch me? Why are you, and we can feel aggrieved, right? Like, now somehow this is your fault for getting on my ass. And anybody in recovery and active addiction listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's a great way. One of my favorite pastimes was to spin that. Well, why are you on my ass? You know what I mean? Like, what? Why are you looking for me? Why are you searching for things? Why are you, excuse me, why are you doing this and that and this and that? Well, they're doing that so they can try to fucking save your life, you fucking asshole. They're doing that because they love you. But when we're running, dude, I, you're just on my ass. You're trying to kill the fun parade that ended about fucking 7 years ago. So, you know, like the fun parade has already gone through town, a long time ago, bud, but for some reason when we're in it, the fun parade is 24/7 fun parade. It's not very fun either. Like, you know, deflated, you know, Macy's Day parade, fucking balloons and, you know, a bunch of crying and vomiting and shit. The parade's not very fun. Let's go on to number four. And this one's, you know, pretty tough. And I didn't really think about it until these later years. And I, you know, me coming from the huge family that I do with the history of substance abuse, like, we know how to talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we know what it is. We've seen it. We've buried people for it. We know what the fuck it is. So Ashley's family has a different dynamic. Like, injecting my ass in it, like, they didn't really dealt with that, right? So I come in. Man, I got to take a drink of water. I got something in my throat, man. Something in my throat. By the way, did you guys like my fucking Creed intro? Yeah. I opened the show with a fucking Creed song. And if you got a problem, you can eat my ass. Let me take a sip of this water. So, like I said, they don't have that that dynamic, right? Like, you know, you heard from Sunshine on her story, which is fantastic. You know, not an issue. Not an issue. So, she comes in, says that number four, that not being able to talk to my family or friends about what was going on with me or Cameron because of the judgment that came with it. I remember sleeping in my car versus going to my mom's or my friends because I didn't want to be judged for loving Cameron or for getting judged. What the hell is she saying here? Fuck, I don't know. For being sick. I don't know what the hell she meant there. This is chicken scratch on here, babe. I'm sorry, I just murdered that. But let's not gloss over this. This one really hurts. So nights that she would go and stay with you know, her family, quote unquote, she's sleeping in her car, dude, because she's ashamed that she's in love with, you know, fucking Gollum from Lord of the Rings, right? Like, and I can't even imagine that. Like, you're in a relationship with somebody, and you love them so much, but they won't help themselves because they're so sick that you can't even go to your family to talk about it, because they're going to tell you the simple, easy answer. Well, get the fuck out of there. What are you doing? Why are you even with this fucking asshole? And when you love somebody, that's not that easy to do. It's really not. And we've all been in toxic relationships and I mean, if you haven't, I mean, you're missing out, dude. Go get in one. It's delicious. It's just craziness all the time. It's fantastic. But to not have a safe place, to not have anybody to go to when you're living in the chaos that is active addiction is really hard. And I know there's a bunch of people out there, probably somebody listening to this right now, who's felt the same way or feels the same way right this instant. Because if I go to them, they're going to tell me what I need to do. And I don't want to do that because I love this person. How fucking hard is that? How fucking hard is that? And the thought of my wife, my now wife, she was my girlfriend at this time. And I was an asshole. Yes, we're slowly understanding this as far as we go. We just keep going. And I just, now I'm like on the verge of tears and all this shit. But my wife would sleep in her car. And that is not okay. It's not okay. But you know what? I mean, I like to believe that if I knew that she wasn't at her mom's, I wouldn't have allowed that. Like I never would ever wish for her to do that. Even in my drunkest days, would I ever have her do that? I would tell her to come back to the apartment, but I honestly can't blame her. I honestly can't blame her. But it's fucking sad, man. It's sad. Couldn't come back to the apartment because you didn't want to fucking deal with them. And I'm going to choose sleeping in the car so I don't have my family tell me things that I don't want to hear because I'm so in love with this very, very sick person. That's a real tough one. That one makes me feel a certain type of way. And I thank God that, that type of shit doesn't happen anymore in my life. What a blessing. What a fucking blessing. You know, I get to lay in bed with her now. And I get to harass her for sex and, squeeze her butt. And it's awesome. And, you know, I have a higher success rate because I'm not drunk anymore. And so that's a win, dude. That's a win. I'm just playing, but you get what I'm saying. But yeah, I guess, you know, that type of shit wasn't above me. I was that bad that, we just quite literally we're not even going to sleep in a bed. We're going to sleep in our car, but I still love you because I'm not going to go to my family to fucking roast you. And just in case you guys were wondering too, I married a real ass one who loves me, and there's a reason why I married her. The next one is going to be trust. Losing that trust in Cameron. I couldn't trust the thing he said for years, and I still feel triggered by it, where I feel like I need to prove he is lying to me to protect myself. Now this cannot go glazed over. Okay. Not only when we are in active addiction or on relapses or constantly doing whatever the fuck we're doing, we absolutely obliterate any and all trust with everybody. You can't trust a word that these people are saying. You know what I mean? Like, because how many times, like I said in the beginning of this episode, do we sit down and we have these heart-to-heart conversations, and then, you know, 5 minutes after the conversation, they're drunk or high again, right? So, like, dude, I can't trust a word you're fucking saying to me, dude, because it's going in one ear and out the other. You know what I mean? Hey, did you take money out of my purse, Cameron? No, I didn't. Well, dude, like, here's, it's like that fucking Dateline episode. Well, here, have a seat, pal. Here's a video footage of you doing it. What do you mean? Be like, oh, well, it's not me. It's not me. That's not me. That's like me on my second DUI. Let's go on a little side tangent. My second DUI, what the fuck was it? I was fucking hammered. Like I said, on the last episode, I think I blew like a 2.9. Like, yeah, and I'm a small dude. I was hammered. I should not have been on the road. I am not glorifying this. Do not drink and drive. I like to think that a lot of people are now being a lot more responsible with that. This is not condoning that behavior at all. But this is just a prime example of kind of who I was during that time and why you couldn't trust the thing I said. So as I wake up in the car to cops filtering through my shit, I'm passed out. I'm in the car. Car's running. And I got paramedics in there. They got my fucking anxiety pills. I wake up from my drunk coma. I got my seatbelt on. They asked me how I got there. And I just said that this random guy that I was drinking with at the bar named Clay drove me there. And they're like, okay, Clay drove you here. And I'm like, yeah, dude, he dropped me off here. And, you know, Clay didn't drop me off there. And they're like, all right. And then what did they do? They went into the liquor store or the gas station, and they looked at the cameras, and old technology got me. Clay didn't drop me off. It was the ghost of Cameron, But I still held on to that until they came back with the camera footage. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I drove here. But that's what I'm saying, right? Like, you can't trust a thing that we're saying to you when we're in active addiction. And the damage that does to our loved ones is, hey, I'm going to be able to, maybe I can count on them today. Maybe today will be different. And when you keep fucking them every single minute of every day, dude, I mean, you might as well be just like a fucking, like a puppet, like a marionette. Because that's what you are in active addiction when you're doing that shit. Like, you just, hey, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. Bah, 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 bah. All right, here you go. Fantastic. And then right when you leave, you got two middle fingers up and you think you're the slickest thing since fucking, you know, sliced bread. And yes, sliced bread is slick. But it's just really, really sad. And then another thing that we're not going to glaze over, we are not, as hard as it is. Dude, I'm working towards 7 years. There are times where Ash, and she can't even defend herself now, but Ash will get triggered thinking that I'm somehow lying again, right? And this kind of spirals off on her trying to be a detective, right? She had to solve these mysteries, like, where the fuck was I at? What the fuck was I doing? Where, what was this? Yada, yada, yada. Is he lying to me? I don't know what the fuck he's saying. Is it true? Yada, yada, yada. All these things. You know, sometimes she'll get in that mode. And I have to, like, reel her back in, you know, with, you know, a healthier way of showing her that, like, hey, dude, it's okay. It's okay. Like, that's not happening. And it takes her a little bit of time to wind down. And that's okay. I don't fault her for that. I don't fault her for that. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be easy for me to get mad because it'd be like, well, look at all the time I've got after all this time. What do you mean you think I'm fucking lying? Well, don't you know who the fuck I am? Well, yeah, you know who the fuck I am. And in all honesty, like, dude, that dude is still there. He's still there. I like to think that he's just in there sleeping. He's taking a, hopefully, God willing, an eternal slumber so that he never rises again. But he's still there. Like, and she knows that. She knows that. The more time that he doesn't wake up, the more that he just keeps fading away into the ether. But he's still there. He's still there. And I'm cognizant of that. And I have to understand that the damage done to people takes time. It takes time. And it may happen my entire life. You know, there may be moments where I'll be fucking 70 years old on my fucking, remember, my cron farm with my dogs and shit or something. Who knows what I'll be doing? This is a sobriety podcast. I'm talking about a cron farm. Thank you. Yes, welcome. You'll have to go back into previous episodes to understand what that means. You know, she may come out and feel the same way. And I have a feeling that, like, I'm still going to be okay with that. I'm still going to be okay with that. You know, I put her through hell, dude. Through hell. And not only, I think it's a blessing because, you know what? It keeps me honest. Because what if I am trying to fucking pull a fast one? I don't want to be that person. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. I pride myself on being honest. Which is exactly what I'm sitting here on this fucking podcast with my shirt off watching football in my fucking room doing so you guys can listen to it. You know, like, damage is done, dude. And I'll do what I can to help her get through that to the best of my ability. But her healing time is based on her healing time. It's not on what Cameron wants. It's not. And the sooner I came to understand that, the easier it's been for me to help her navigate through that, you know, and it really does help. Here's another super hot take. It really does help when you're not doing anything wrong. That's actually, you know, the greatest advice I could give to anybody. When you get sober and you're not doing anything wrong, it's fucking sweet, dude. Because you're not in the wrong. And it's not like any way like to sit here and like, you know, jam it up her ass and be like, yeah, hey, look, you're stupid for feeling this way. No, it's just, hey, here is the truth. Let me show you why it is the truth. And let me reinforce to you that, hey, your worries don't need to be they're not valid. So let's take a deep breath and get back to what we're doing, which is running around like our fucking heads are chopped off with these two kids and everything else we got going on. I love you. Smooches. But the next one's real good too. Feeling trapped. Cameron would always take my car and would leave for hours at a time without a word. He wouldn't answer his phone or text, and he also didn't share his location. So I had no idea if he was alive. That's good. Yeah. I was notorious for that. Remember, if you're a hardcore listener of this show already, this'll really tie in some lunacy of how my brain worked in active addiction. And actually still today, I still haven't changed the address on my ID, right? But since I had already been a two DUI-er And that obviously didn't teach me my lesson because I was driving around drunk every day. I would make up these wild harebrained excuses like I was slick. Like I had to only I could run these random little errands. And only I could go. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And the reason why I could take care of it is because I could stop at the liquor store and drink the whole time while I was gone, unhindered. Right? Nobody could stop me. She couldn't stop me. She couldn't see me. And so, if I did that, if I got the car, and I left, then it was free reign, right? And so everything was pressing, right? Like I would make up these random excuses because I lived rather close to home during this time. I would like, oh, my parents called. I have to rake up one leaf in their yard. They're asking for my help. I have to go this instant. This is absolutely pressing, and it can't be pushed another day. My parents' heads are going to explode if this leaf is on their lawn. So I got to get out of here, and I don't know when or how long this is going to take. And I mean, you know, that's not the actual story, but I mean, some of those random reasons why I had to leave were just as wild. I had a list a mile long. And that's another thing that anybody who's dealt with anybody in addiction, any family members, lovers, friends, you'll see that everything's, I gotta go here now. And it has to be done now. It can't wait till tomorrow. It can't. And the reason is like I just said earlier, right? I have to go get alcohol. I have to drink. I have to go get a sack. I have to get high, right? And so whatever little fucking story that I can make up so that I can accomplish that goal, so I can get the fuck out of here, is what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to get the fuck out of here. And I'm sure as hell not going to answer the phone because I'm not doing what I said I was going to do. Right? I'm not. I'm not going to be raking that one leaf. I'm actually going to be driving through neighborhoods with beers in my fucking lap and slamming vodka and hiding somewhere so nobody can find me. That's what I'm going to be doing. That is what is actually going to be happening. And so, I mean, dude, I can see it. Fuck, dude. Fuck, man. Like, I was a sick motherfucker, dude. And the reason I would take her car is because, you know, I didn't want, if a cop got behind me, to run my plates and seeing that my car was registered to me. You know, that would then make them be suspicious, be like, well, this guy's got two fucking DUIs. What the fuck is he doing? And they'd pull me over. Now, if I had Ashley's car, it would say registered to Ashley Strong at the time, right? So there's my big crime fighting. I'm smarter than the cops guy move. You know, and it's crazy though. It worked, right? I ended up not getting any more DUIs. Knock on wood, God willing. That was fantastic. So that was my thinking. But ready? That trapped her in the apartment. She couldn't go do anything with her day because I'm raking one leaf, right? I drove a stick shift. She doesn't know how to drive a stick shift. Okay. So, but I didn't give a fuck about that. I didn't give two shits. Zero fucks about that at all. Not at all. Because my desires to stay drunk and loaded superseded everything, including her feelings about it. Oh, hey, this is your car that you're making fucking car payments on and fucking, you know, go to work every single day while I sit here and drink all day. Well, hey, guess what? I'm taking it and you're going to sit here in the apartment with the two fucking dogs and you're going to be happy about it because daddy here's got to go fucking drive around like a drunk fucking lunatic. And it's just, it's fucking insane when you think about it, dude. It's fucking insane. And, you know, I try to make these daily amends to her by trying to be the best that I can now. But dude, like some of that shit, dude, like it's just so unfair. It's just so unfair. So if any of you guys are listening to this and you're dealing with something like this, like, or, you know, anybody you know is dealing with something like this, like this is a common thing with addicts, maybe not that exact scenario, you know, but the I have to leave now deal, you're not alone in that. And it's just this inherent desire, and this drive that's inside of us when we're in active addiction. The best way I can explain it, that like literally, like it's like, I have to get more alcohol now. Like that was my brain at that time. And like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I'm going to get it, and nothing is going to stop me from getting it. And so what you're dealing with is a very sick individual who is not in control of themselves. A complete slave to a substance. I was just a fucking like a meat suit walking around, you know, running on PAPS in New Amsterdam and Copenhagen Long Cut. And then I switched back to snuff because I'm not a pussy. But that was it. You know what I mean? And I just wiggled and wobbled my way through fucking life, seeing how I can get through and get one over on fucking Ash so maybe she wouldn't leave me and do all this shit. You know, just crazy shit, dude. Just crazy shit. And then her next one is feeling trapped number two. Feeling I couldn't and shouldn't leave the relationship because it was giving up on him, when that was the farthest thing I felt like doing. Just one more day and he will finally choose me, but that eventually just turned into years. And that's something that a lot of, like, you know, partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, will struggle with. I don't want to leave him. I don't want to leave her. I love them. And maybe tomorrow will be a better day. Maybe tomorrow will be the day that they wake up. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to be the catalyst for that? But maybe tomorrow will be the day. And what if I leave and I miss it? And the person that I know inside, is who I know is in there, moves on, and I missed out on it because I gave up too early, quote unquote. Now that's a tough one to fucking navigate. That's a tough one to navigate because you can see what she even said in her own words that I can read better than this. So please, like I said, I have a weird setup going on here, what she said, you know, she was waiting just like one more day. And then that turned into years of this shit. Years. Right? And the day just kept being elusive. It wouldn't come. It wouldn't. And you know, that's how people stay in these fucking relationships forever. And for normies, this is fucking hard to understand. Because like on our last episode, even Michelle mentioned it, which is a great episode, by the way. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. But there's a special shine about us addicts and alcoholics, right? We're funny. We're creative. We're lighthearted when we're not like in like the absolute depths of misery of fucking complete assness. We're good people. We're just fucked up. We're just... these shells of what once was humans, good-hearted, loving people, the innocence and the joy is sucked out, and it's just a miserable, miserable fucking time. And you know, you can get caught living on a prayer, as Bon Jovi says, like, hey, I'm gonna pray that tomorrow will be the day that I come home and he goes, if I'm pretending to be Ashley, and he goes to me and says, you know what, babe, I'm going to stop today. Today's the day. And I choose you. And the sad part is like, you know, and like I said, that didn't happen for years. That didn't happen for years. I did eventually choose her and myself, myself first and then her. It took years to get to that point, years. And so If you're struggling with that, just know that, like, you know, you got to do what's best by you. And hope and pray that they make the right decision. You know, like, maybe the catalyst is something that we didn't even think of, and it snaps them out of it. Because that's what happened with me. That's what happened with me. I still, to this day, I've said it here a trillion times, I think, I cannot explain why the switch flipped when it did. But it did, and something changed. Something changed. Like, I woke up and was done. And why wasn't that, you know, why didn't that happen, you know, fucking 365 days earlier? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. And so you can stick around and love them, but they need to love themselves. And you also need to love yourself as well, because this shit is chaos. And that's really kind of the point I'm trying to make here on this episode, is that if you're living in this and you have loved ones that are going through this, your feelings about why am I so fucking stressed out and why is this so fucking crazy and why the fuck is this person not listening to me? Why the fuck are all these things happening? And why am I on the verge of having a stroke? Well, it's because you're dealing with soulless meat suits who are addicted to a substance who give zero fucks about, like, pretty much anything aside from that. And they love you more than likely, but you are a second fiddle to whatever's running the show. And that comes with a lot of not sound life choices, madness, gaslighting, and bullshit. So that's part of the reason why you feel that way, because it's not how normal people live their lives. And it's not how we're supposed to live our lives. We're not meant to be slaves to a substance. We're not, like, for real. Like, it's a sizzling hot take. Like, you know, we're not supposed to be that way. We're not supposed to be, you know, crawling towards substances to save us from life's trials and tribulations. And society will tell you otherwise, but it's not what we're supposed to be doing. It's not. We got to take it on the fucking chin, dude. You got to enjoy the ride. I was just talking with my friend Casey. Shout out Robach, bro. He's a listener of the show. Good guy. He's taking on an endeavor of, you know, possibly putting down the bottle. Not saying you have a problem or anything, brother, but, you know, he's hitting me up and he's like, man, another weekend, yada, 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 not drinking. I'm feeling great. And I was like, you know, dude, that's fucking tits. That's sick, dude. And I'm fucking proud of you. And you know what, man? Like, what's cooler than this, man? Like, you get to watch your kids grow up. They get to watch you handle life without cowering to alcohol when fucking something bad happens. You get to teach them fucking, you know, life skills, like how to deal with fucking life and how to learn and how to see the silver linings and how to grow from it, instead of, hey, what happened when you know, anything bad happened? Well, you know, my dad would drink whiskey, or oh, my dad would he would shut down for a while and drink a bunch. And so what are you modeling, right? Like, for me, like, I'm gonna lay on my deathbed, like, it's like my main mission that I'm gonna lay on my deathbed and I'm gonna be like, dude, I fucking lived it, right? Like, I was present for it all. I felt the pain. I felt the sorrow. I felt the joy. I felt the sadness. I already said sorrow, but let's throw sadness in there. I felt the anger. I felt the disappointment. I felt it all, and I was there. My little brain video camera was fully plugged in, and I got to feel it, right, on my little trip around this fucking rock. And what's cooler than that, right? So, yeah, shout out to him, man. Shout out Casey, dude. Keep it up, dude. Let's go to the next one. Feeling isolated. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to go out or go to events, knowing that Cameron would find this as a reason to get drunk just for it to get worse when we got home. I also didn't want to leave Cam alone, knowing he would use this time to get drunk. And I know he was not in the best headspace, so I always had the fear of leaving him alone, and it would be the last time I would see him alive. Yeah. Yeah. You know, she hit it right on the head with that. All of that is true. All of it. Why would you want to bring me anywhere? Because fucking dude, she's 100% right on that. I would see it as an excuse. Well, here's an event. What do you do at events? You get hammered. Or at least that was my train of thought. That's what I did. So, oh, you want to go somewhere? Cool. Let's stop there. Daddy-o here is going to fucking fill up about 2 fucking Gatorade bottles with 1 splash of Gatorade full of vodka, and I'm going to try to convince people that it's not vodka in here, and I'm going to go fucking get turned up. And then I'm going to drink all the alcohol that's at this, whatever this function is, because that's what I do. I drink, and I know things. And there's a Game of Thrones reference if anybody's a fucking nerd and liked that show, because I sure as hell did. And then, yeah, think about the stress of that, right? Hey, I can't go live my life, right? I can't go live my life because if I bring my significant other with me, he is going to fucking make a complete ass of himself and drink and be out of fucking control. And then when I bring him home, he's going to be fucking hammered and I have to deal with him alone. Think about that. Like, how selfish is that, right? Like, oh, word, dude, we're going to this event. Fuck yeah, dude, we're going to have a great time. No one's having a great time, dude. You're the only one having a great fucking time. And then she has to sit and fucking worry, or had to. She had to sit there and worry about, fuck, how drunk is he going to get? And what am I going to have to fucking come home to? And then what am I going to have to deal with? Right? But we don't think about that. We don't think about it. I sure as fuck didn't. And if she even thought about mentioning fucking, hey, can we like maybe not drink or something like that? I don't even think she had the courage to even ask me that at that time. But I'd have been like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? No, I'm not going to not drink. What do you mean? Well, Cameron, this is fucking my friend's like 1-year-old baby shower, dude. Like, why are we slamming vodka? Well, because, dude, it's a celebration of the 1-year-old baby shower. What the fuck is a 1-year-old baby shower? But you get what I'm saying. Like something absolutely insane like that, right? Like, would be like, oh yeah, hell yeah, dude, word, let's stop there. This is a reason to celebrate. Newsflash: every day was a day to celebrate, right? So if you're dealing with a family member or a friend or anything like that that's going through that type of shit, like, yeah, hey, I get it. I don't like being around drunk people now. Right? Like, dude, do I have to like bring you around? Like, do I have to be around you? Like, it's embarrassing. Especially when it's a problem. Cause like we're just so oblivious. Like, I'm kind of tiptoeing between both sides here, right? Like, I'm giving you a little bit of insight as to like what was going on with me, and I'm giving you a little bit of insight on what it's like for me now. You know, you're just so oblivious to it. You think everybody's on your ass when you're in active addiction. And then there's a whole bunch more that goes into this. Like, this episode could be fucking 26 hours straight, like, to break down the complexities of what was going on in my mind at that time. But we don't have time for that. But, you know, it was, you know, all right, yeah, getting drunk. And if anybody tries to tell me not get drunk, then they're obviously a fucking asshole. And they just want to fucking try to rain on my fucking parade. Right. And then you get, you're all drunk and fucking sloppy and fucking, you know, there's not a worry in the world. And little do you know that your loved ones and your friends are all over here staring at you because you're making a fucking ass of yourself. And you think you're the coolest fucking person in the world when you're really a fucking just big walking fucking dildo of ass. Like, dude, like the audacity that I had to think that I was the fucking greatest thing since fucking sliced bread, dude. I was the shiniest star everywhere I went. No, I wasn't, dude. I was the fucking shiniest fucking turd. Dude, that was just this polished up turd. That was me, dude. Me. Cameron, the polished turd Davis. That was me, man. That was me. But I thought I was the shining star. I was the funniest guy. I was here to drink with everybody and have a great time. Because, ready, it was a hell of a lot better than doing it alone, which is what I was doing 24/7. And so it was an excuse to turn up, right? And then I get her concern about leaving me alone. No secret here, you know, I was suicidal towards tail end. And so her knowing that she had to leave for work with me at home by myself with a gun in the house was probably a little hard on her. And I thank God every day that I ended up not doing that. But can you imagine the fear of that, right? Like, hey, is he going to fucking kill himself today because he's so sick and just, you know, out of his fucking mind? Am I going to come home to that? And that's heavy as fuck. But I mean, dude, that's a fucking reality. And that was her reality at that time. Right? And so, you know, the craziest shit is I still didn't see it. And that's another point that I want to highlight, right? Like, I still didn't see her side of these things when I was in active addiction. What do you mean you're afraid to leave me alone? What do you mean? I'm fine. I'm okay. There is nothing wrong. Right? And anybody listening who's in recovery knows what I'm talking about. It's the farthest thing from the truth. Farthest thing from the truth. What are you so worried about me for? It's fine. I'll see you later. And, you know, when you love somebody as much as Ash loves me, as much as I love all the people in my life, to have fears like that is something else. Something else. Really is. And it breaks my heart to think about that. It does. And it was just, you know, just a very dark time. And like I said, I thank God that I didn't end up, you know, doing that. But it still doesn't negate the fact that she felt that way. You know what I mean? How are you supposed to focus at work wondering if the boyfriend that you love, who is sicker than a fucking dog in his alcoholism, is going to be alive when you come home? Is he going to be alive? Is he going to kill himself today? Is he going to crash? Is he going to go to jail? I mean, all, who knows? Am I going to come home to a fucking hooker party? What am I coming home to? And you gotta try to focus and be an upstanding citizen with all that fucking in the background. Good luck. Good luck. And, you know, moral of the story is that you can't focus when you have those types of concerns. I know I can't. I know I can't. When I deal with people in active addiction who I try to, you know, help, or I try to talk to, and when things get bad, you know, it fucks me up. I care because of everything that I just mentioned in this episode. You know what I mean? Like, I can see and I can almost inherently like feel what they're going through. Like, I can fucking like taste it, right? I can feel the craziness. I can feel the fucking thoughts spiraling in my head, right? Like, I can see it. I can feel it. I can almost guess the next move. I can. And I'm not some fucking, you know, Miss Cleo or anything like that. Newsflash, everybody in recovery can see it and feel it and taste it and knows it. But we all know. That's why I'm saying it. We all know when you're sitting there and it's just like, dude, like, the problems I have now, and I really like try to work through this, is I get fucking mad. I get mad, dude. I get mad, mad, mad. And not like I'm over here fucking screaming or, you know, losing my shit. I'm a calm dude, man. I'm a calm guy. It takes a lot to get me riled up. But I will get fired up from time to time. It's like the old Italian blood in me. Like Cameron Joe Pesci will come out if he needs to. But I will get fucking mad now. And I don't want to be, right? And so that's the craziest thing. I'm being on the other side of this and seeing the damage that we do, which is what I'm going to call this episode. But you can see it. And your first initial response is, okay, I get it. I understand. I see this. I've been this. I know this. But then you sit there, and like I said, six times already probably, is you try to help, and they don't fucking do it. And like you want to like, dude, I swear to God, I want to grab them like Billy Madison. Everybody's probably seen Billy Madison where the one kid, the little fat kid goes, I want to go to high school, Billy. And he grabs him and he goes, don't you ever say that. Stay here as long as you can. And he's squeezing his face all fucking hard. Like, I want to like grab somebody by their fucking face, dude. And I just want to be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Listen to what I'm telling you. And please, for the love of God, just fucking stop. Just stop. You can do it. I will help you. I know what you're going through. I will fucking be here for you. Just stop. And when they don't do it, dude, it fucking, like nowadays, man, it makes me mad. It makes me mad. I don't cop these like crazy resentments. I let it go. But fuck, dude, like my initial response is anger. And I can only imagine, the reason I bring that up is because I can only imagine how other people, like Ash didn't really dive into being angry. She dived into a lot of other really hard emotions that she dealt with. But imagine a lot of people who had to deal with me were fucking pissed off at me, right? And so I get it now. I get it. Like, it's like, dude, like, come on. Like, I'm giving you pearls here, brother. But it's not that fucking easy. It's not. And so I walk this tightrope of being sober guy, doing what was taught to me, trying to hand it off freely. And then I walk, you know, what I like to call is like my normal version of myself, which is fucking, you know, a normal human today, I guess. And I just go, dude, what the fuck are we doing? Stop using, stop doing it. What, listen to what everybody's telling you. Let's get our lives together. You know what we got to do. We got to do this and let's do it. Like, let's get it together. Come on. Chop, chop. Clock's ticking. And it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Like I said earlier, man, like February 15th, 2018, not my original. That's my original sobriety date. I woke up and I did what I had to do. Switch flipped. And so me getting all fucking irritated about it does nothing. It does nothing. So what I try to do after I have these small rage fits, and I'm not grabbing people by the face and I'm not screaming at anybody or anything like that, unless I have to scream at you, I will if I must. But I will try to meet it with love and kindness, understanding. Because most of the time, the person you're trying to talk to is not behind the steering wheel. And the plane is being flown without a pilot. That's a Lil Wayne song. What's that? I Feel Like Dying song? That's a good one. Only once the drugs are gone do I feel like dying. I used to listen to that. No wonder Ash thought I was going to kill myself. I listened to that when I was all fucking sitting there thinking I was the coolest thing, taking bong rips, fucking drinking and fucking walking around like a puffed up fucking puffer fish because I was so bloated and red from fucking drinking alcohol and like one cup of water in a week. But I try to meet it with compassion, man. I try to meet it with compassion, understanding, and hopefully something that I say will get through. And hopefully I can lead by example and motivate that person to want more for themselves. Because that's really the whole issue here. You get your fucking dick drug in the dirt forever due to your own damn doing, right? In active addiction, like you're doing it to yourself. But you feel like you're not. This is somehow everybody else's fault. But you get your dick drug through the dirt, and you just literally feel like, you know, you can't get out of it. You literally feel like you can't get out of it. But if you see somebody, because I know from personal experience that the people I saw that I admired that had gotten sober, I wanted it, dude. I wanted it. So if I could see, you know, if I could be that for somebody, then that's what I'll be. If that's got to be how somebody turns their life around, by me doing what was freely given to me and me being the person that I am today, then I'm going to keep being that person. Because me being that person might save a life or two, right? And what's better than that? If I keep doing that, then maybe somebody will come up to me who has a problem, who hasn't talked to anybody about it, or is curious about getting sober, or been thinking about it and is struggling, then we can have the conversation, right? But if I just shut myself off being an angry fucking dickhead like I want to be now, because that's what I am when people don't listen to my fucking sound ass advice because I'm a fucking guru, you know, that's gonna push them away because they're getting it everywhere else, right? They're getting it everywhere else. So I have to be better in dealing with it myself, right? And so we're all affected by this. All of us. There's not a person listening to this show that hasn't had to deal with somebody in active addiction. And you're probably hearing Rudy bark. But somebody in active addiction, somebody dying from fucking an addiction, somebody gone to jail for fucking DUIs, somebody who's tiptoeing on fucking having a problem, somebody who's tried to get help and has failed, somebody who, you know, is absolutely fucked off and is probably going to die if they don't stop in fucking 3 days or something like that. Like, everybody has somebody like that. And what I'm imploring is, how do we help in a different way? How can we be that shining example? And the way that we be that shining example, or at least I do, is by doing what we're supposed to fucking do. And this is for my recovery people. Is by doing what the fuck we are supposed to do. And that is never pick up, help others when they need help, and fucking take it on the fucking chin, bro. Take it on the chin. We all got issues. We all got problems. We all have anxiety. I mean, we have to fucking vote for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. I'm unnerved. Okay. Like, we all have issues, inflation, fucking, you know, jobs and money and my dick's too small and my mom's, you might have people who are sick and you know, everything that's going to happen. But are we going to pour gasoline on that fire in that current storm that you're going through? And your answer should be a resounding no. It should be a resounding no. There's going to be the temptation to want to. There's going to be the temptation. It's going to come. Like, you can just count on it. Like, I mean, I don't sit here trying to pontificate like I'm holier than thou, and I sure hope that I'm not coming across that way. Because, like I've said here ad nauseum, it happens to me too. It happens to me too. That sleeping little Cameron who I was talking about earlier in this episode is there. And the Gipper is always right around the corner. Always. Always. But that's an active choice. We going to tell him to fuck off, or we going to entertain him? We get to decide. We get to decide. And instead of acting impulsively and feeling like all of the world's problems only happen to me, that's old addict type thinking. That's active addiction thinking. all of these bad things are happening to me, and and it's just playing this fucking victim shit, and then you can give in, and then the Gipper's gonna get in your fucking ear, and you're toast, dude. You're toast. You're toast. You're not leaning on people. You're not doing shit, and then we can't show up for anybody, and then all of a sudden people are showing up for us, right? So, let's lead by example. Let's lead by example. I know there's a lot of you guys out there, a lot of our listeners who are doing that. Hen and I try to do that on this show. You know, let's keep pushing forward in that way with love and kindness, understanding, and just showing up like we're supposed to, dude, like we're supposed to. Let's not get down and rest on our fucking laurels, dude. Be like me, where you want to talk to yourself in a room shirtless with football on the TV, talking about things like you know things. Let's do that instead of, you know, trying to fuck our whole lives up. And that's pretty much it, man. I sure hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. I know I kind of rambled on there. I want to first and foremost thank my wife for, you know, writing out some of that heartfelt shit. It was nice of her to be vulnerable and to share some of her inner thoughts with me. I hope it was rather cathartic for her. I'm going to ask her if it was. You know, it always feels good to write things out on paper. I enjoy doing that. But, you know, it was hard to read. But, ready? That's okay. That's okay. Which is what I was just kind of going on that little tirade that I feel like I blacked out on 5 seconds ago. That's okay. I can feel sad for what I put her through. I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that because I do what I was just talking about. I lead a different life now. I lead by example, and I love fully, and I love myself first and everybody else, right? So, thank you to my wonderful, beautiful, loving wife. Eventually we'll get her on here so then maybe she can say those things on the pod, and then maybe I will cry and feel even worse than I already do right now. Next week, I think Hen will be back. If he is not, I have a guest lined up for a wonderful young lady who I know who actually had a very tragic biking accident. She was out riding a bike and ended up crashing and is now paralyzed from the waist down. Very young woman, very bright, loving, awesome person. One of Michael's our last producer's girlfriends. I think they were married, actually, to be honest with you. Wonderful person. Her name's Rachel. She goes by Sunshine too, so we'll have another Sunshine on here. I'll probably call her Rachel on the show. But she's going to come on and talk about the challenges. This has been fairly recent. This didn't happen too long ago. Some of the challenges on how to deal with a challenging diagnosis like that. What your life looks like when you can't walk anymore. I'm curious about it. And I'm curious how you would even, you know, handle that without getting incredibly, you know, depressed. And I imagine that it's going to be a really good heartwarming episode with a bunch of gems, and it's probably going to make all of our problems and issues that we like to get all excited about feel rather trivial. So Rachel will be here next week. That should be ultra tits. Follow us on everything. If you're a new listener and you're listening to this, welcome to the Rude Dude Podcast. Henry is out. Yeah, I do have a co-host. He's just not here today. We talk about recovery and all types of fun shit. So give us a follow. 5 stars would be great. Sharing with a friend does even more. I will give one more shout out to our Canadian listeners. You guys are tits. We love you. You guys have been really putting in work, and we see you. So reach out to us, man. Send us a message on Instagram, man, girl, whoever, whatever you are. Say hi to us. We love to interact. And that's about it. This was fun. This was fun. I hope you guys stuck around. I hope you guys stuck around, because all this shirtless talking with football on the TV by myself in the room, slouched over by a microphone, would have been for nothing. But I hope you guys had a good time. I hope you guys all had a very good week ahead, and I hope this episode finds you well. So I will finish this like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. And Hen comes back and says, I love you too, Cam. And remember, be yourself and fuck what they think. And I go, dude, I was a huge piece of shit to my girlfriend back in the day. Later, dude. Woo!